Good morning. I love this saying from the English. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. Or more for people, you can give a person an opportunity to do something, but you can't make them do that or do it. Have you ever experienced that in your life where you are so sure that you can help someone out with your wisdom, with your experience, with your advice, and they don't take it? And it can get a little bit frustrating for you. And, you know, because you are trying so hard to lead them and help them out of a situation, and they just refuse your help. Well, I think about God, and God is doing the same thing for each of us. He is leading us to water, green pastures, leading us. He has all these words of wisdom in the scriptures. He's given us people to help us out along the way. And sometimes we're just like that horse. We are so close to the water, but we don't drink. God has a plan, has a place where he wants all of us to be. And he's leading us to that place. The question we're going to look at today is, do we follow, and how can we do a better job of following? And this is going to be based on Joshua 1. As Christians, we should be asking ourselves, are we progressing on our spiritual journey? In Matthew 19, Jesus says we need the faith of a child. When you think about a faith of a child, that means excitement. That means there's like no questioning at all. In about 2 months, maybe less than 2 months, it's time for the big guy's visit. And is there any more pure faith than a child's belief in Santa Claus? They are so excited for his visit. Their behavior changes for a couple months ahead of time. They don't care about the logistics. You know, we as adults, how does he do that in one night? How does he get up and down the chimney? Kids don't care about that. They're just excited, and they have pure joy in their hearts. That's how we should be with our faith. But we do need to grow. As Christians, we need to go from the milk to solid food. So as Christians, we do learn the basics, but then as we progress, we start to learn more and more about what our faith means, how it should be impacting our lives. And then we come to the realization of who Christ is. Peter did that in John 6. All these other disciples were deserting Jesus. His teachings were getting tough. Jesus said to his apostles, are you guys going to desert me too? And Peter goes, where else are we going to go, Lord? You have the words of everlasting life. So Peter realized who Christ was. We need to get to that point also in our lives. We need to think about, how can I improve? As we go through our life and we hear all these teachings, how am I doing with my faith? The rich young man came up to Jesus. How can I improve? Jesus said, you love your possessions way too much. You got to give them away. That young man went away very sad that day because he loved him. He loved what he had. We all have room for improvement, and God is trying to point us to those places where we need to improve. What kind of attitude do we have about that? We need to give our lives over to God. You think about Stephen, he's considered the first martyr. As he was getting stoned that day in Acts 8, he just looked up to the Heavenly Father, and he's basically saying, Lord, I'm coming. I'm giving my life over to you. I'm coming. Paul reminds us that our faith is a long race, and we got to keep running it every day of our lives. And finally, in Revelation, we get that final reward. That's what we should be progressing to. that day when we have passed the tests and we are welcomed into our heavenly inheritance. We're going to start to look today at the Israelites. And the Israelites, as we know, God led them out of Egypt. And he was leading them to the promised land of Cana. Promised land of Cana, according to my research, is 240 miles from Egypt, like where they were in Egypt. It took them 40 years to get there. That is 14,600 days to go 240 miles. To do a little bit of math, they averaged 87 feet a day in their journey. That would be a couple laps around this sanctuary, is about 87 feet. Now, of course, they went back and forth, and they were wandering and wandering and wandering. And the reason they wandered was because of their disobedience to God. God kept doing all these things. He was leading them in the fire. He was giving them manna, water, all this stuff, and they just kept disobeying him and lengthening their trip. And in fact, the Israelites who went out of Egypt were not the ones that went into Cana. They had all died off. They were in the desert so long. The Israelites' disobedience kept them from enjoying the land of Cana longer. Has our disobedience ever robbed us of enjoyment? Now, most of us as Christians, when we are disobedient and we sin, we know it. Would you agree with that? And we don't feel good about that. Why'd I say that? Why'd I do that? And it takes away our enjoyment of that moment because we know we got to make things right. Or if you disobey your boss, cost you money, cost you maybe a promotion, could cost you your job. You disobey your spouse, ooh, happy wife, happy life, right, guys? You disobey your wife or your spouse, you're in trouble. They don't worry too much about the husband, do they? There's no husband saying or anything like that. But you disobey your spouse, you could be in for a long night. Kids, you disobey your parents, the groundings, the suspensions of the car, not getting allowance, whatever. Disobedience usually zaps the joy out of our life and takes away from, you know, the times that we could be having fun, but the disobedience takes that out, takes that away from us. Now, God has this place that he wants us to move, just like he wanted the Israelites to move. And there's three things that we have to do to start to move to where God wants us to be. First thing is to receive the challenge. Second thing is to realize God's commitment to us. And the third thing is to show our commitment to God. So we're going to take a look at the first one, receive the challenge. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. So God challenged Joshua to now take over the leadership of the Israelites. And the thing about challenges, sometimes we really know the background of these challenges. We might be asked at work to head up a new department or a new incentive or a new program. And you're like, okay, and these are the people I'm working with. I know he's a good worker. He slacks off a little bit, and you know a little bit of the background. Joshua knew the background of the people that he was about to lead. He knew their strengths and weaknesses, and he had to decide, do I want to lead this group of people who I just wandered through the desert with for 40 years? One of the types of challenges we could face is the challenge of the untamed. I like those commercials being a teacher where you see a teacher in a room and the kids are just going nuts, throwing paper airplanes and yelling and all that stuff. And it looks like a very untamed situation. Usually the teacher's like, Southwest, please take me away, or something like that, you know, getting me out of the situation. Well, we could face many untamed challenges in our lives. We look at a situation and we're like, how am I going to work my way through this mess? Interesting thing about the timing of the crossing of the Jordan. It was during the flood stage of the Jordan. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during the harvest. That's what it says in Joshua 3:15. Flood stage, you think of the Swati. I went over the Swati Friday night on my way up to Harrisburg. There was water everywhere on that one bridge, under that one bridge on 72. You think about the flood stage, the water is high, the river is running fast, and we are supposed to cross this river. And if you think of, and the scene was, the Israelites were going to be led by these priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant on their shoulders. And then they were going to cross this raging river. And then you think about the families that had to cross with their cattle and all that, and their kids, this raging river. This challenge seemed very untamable. And they were probably asking themselves, God, can this wait like a month till the water recedes? Can we do this at a better time? Have you ever asked yourself those questions? Lord, why is this happening now? You really want me to do this now? Don't you see my daily schedule, Lord? It's pretty full. But we ask God so many times, why are things happening at certain times in our lives? And why? Because we have a much better time in mind for things to happen. And sometimes we think, God, you know what? I might know my life a little bit better than you. Can you wait a little bit longer till I have to do this? But God is always willing to help us tame these challenges that seem untamable. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the ark of the covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. Can you imagine that? Already parted the Red Sea, very cool thing to do. Now he stopped a river from flowing. That river was like dammed up upstream, and all the Israelites could cross on dry ground. God made that untamable situation beatable, and the Israelites could cross with no trouble. God's power was revealed over and over again to the Israelites, and here was another opportunity to see God's power at work. So many times during our great challenges, that's opportunity for God to shine in our life. Another type of challenge that the Israelites faced and that we face is the challenge of the unknown. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and the great river, the Euphrates, all of the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. God, that sounds great. What does it mean? I've never been to this country or this land before. Is this a good thing? Am I getting good land? Am I getting bad land? What am I getting out of this land? Are the people there nice? Are they not going to like us? The Israelites knew nothing about what they were getting into. Closely as we have scheduled our days, unknown stuff happens all the time. Would you agree? And it's all mostly because of other people's actions or sometimes our own actions. Our days are filled with these little challenges that come up, and we weren't expecting them. The Israelites, though, they had such a faith in God that they crossed into that land of the unknown. Went across the Jordan into that land of the unknown. When we face these unknown challenges each day, if we turn them over to God, that can lead us to great victory. Anytime we face challenges and turn them over to God, we give God a chance to shine in our lives and gives God a chance to have a great victory in our life. Second thing we have to do is recognize God's commitment. If you work for a company and your boss has all these plans of how he wants the company to move forward, and he's like, okay, you do this, you do this, you do this, I'm going to Bermuda. May seem like, where's his real commitment to this company? You want us to do all this stuff, but where's your commitment? God showed his commitment to the Israelites in verse 5 here. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Joshua was willing to accept the challenge of leading the Israelites because of God's promise that he will never leave them. The Israelites were willing to go into that unknown land because of God's promise that he would never leave them. In the scripture for today, we heard, I will never leave you. Do you think God is committed to us? Jesus reminds us of God's commitment in Matthew 28. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. God's commitment to stay with us never ends. Does that make any difference in our lives as we approach the challenges of our days? And if we ever doubt God's commitment to us, all we got to do is look at the cross. He is so committed to us and so committed to us being with him forever. He was willing to sacrifice his son on our behalf. We should never doubt God's commitment to us. He loves us more than we could ever imagine, and he can't wait to be with us someday. It's a two-way street. God has a commitment to us. We have to show our commitment to him. In Joshua 1:7, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Joshua and the Israelites, even though Moses was dead, that law still stood. And God was telling and told Joshua and the Israelites, you got to stay right on track. If you don't stay on track, you're going to start wondering again. Can you relate to that? If you don't follow my commands, you're going to start wondering again. And if you read into Joshua, there are some instances when they don't follow God's commands and bad things continue to happen to the Israelites. The way we show God our love and our commitment to him is by keeping his commands. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. And where we find God's commands is in Scripture. So we need to respect God's word, and we need to respect all of God's word. We can't pick and choose what we like out of the Bible. We can't find loopholes, try to manipulate the word. We need to follow all of God's word, no matter how painful or how difficult it is. And we also must be consistent. If you ask any coach, you practice once a week, you're not going to get any better. You practice your violin once a week, you're not going to get much better. If we don't practice our faith every day, there's no way we're going to grow. If we're only a Sunday person, Sunday, Wednesday, whatever, we're not going to grow. If we're one way here and one way at work, we're not going to grow. We have to be as consistent as we can if we want to continue to move where God wants us to be. So wrapping up, God has a place where He wants us to be. We need to face our challenges believing that God is with us. If we turn our challenges over to God, we're growing in our faith and we're moving closer to Him. We have to believe in God's commitment to us. When our faith grows stronger in God, we move closer to Him. Our commitment to God has to be strong. If our commitment is strong, we'll start doing what God wants us to do, and we'll start to do it more consistently. And our faith will grow, and we'll start moving closer and closer to the place God wants us to be. God has a place in store for all of us. The perfect place for all of us. He has given us means for us to get there through His word, through His commitment to us. Are we willing to take the steps we need to do to get there? Are we willing to face the challenges each day with God's help to get there? Do we believe in God's commitment to us? Has God proven Himself to us enough through the death and resurrection of His Son for us to believe in Him and commit our lives to Him? God has a place where He wants us to be. Are we willing to go there? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so very much that You want us to be with You, that You've given us the means to grow in our faith, to grow closer to You. And we pray, Lord, that we may take advantage of those ways, that we understand the Scripture, that we study it, that we put it into place in our lives each day. Please help us, Lord, to turn our lives over to You and know that You're with us during the good and the bad. We pray, Lord, that we may never take Your commitment for granted, that we may never question Your commitment to us, and that we may do our best each day to show You our commitment through the choices that we make. In Jesus' name, amen. At this time, the church welcomes you to come forward if you have a need, or if you would like to become a member of God's family and take that first step on your journey to where God wants you to be. Please stand as we sing.